Welcome to day 216. We are up to Perek Yud Mishnah Zayin. We're continuing to discuss the transference of flavor between Truma and Chulin. Now, until now, we've seen one primary way in which flavor gets transferred, and that is when there's a heat source that's cooking, Bishul. And now we're going to see another way in which flavor gets transferred, and that will also have really important implications for the halachos of kashrus in general, and that is called kavush. When something is salted or pickled together, the assumption is that the salt is so strong that it can be polate, it can help extract flavor from something, and be bolea, and help absorb flavor into something else. Just like heat can do that, so can salt. And those concepts, by the way, being polate and bolea, are very important terms when it comes to halachos kashrus. So says Mishnah Zayin, Zeisei chulin shekvashan im zeisei truma. If you have chulin olives that are being pickled together with truma olives, pitsue chulin and pitsue truma, now we're going to have three ways in which that can happen. If both the chulin olives and the truma olives are crushed, that's case number one, or pitsue chulin im shleimei truma, or if the chulin olives are crushed, but the truma olives are whole, that's case number two, obimei truma, or if the crushed chulin olives are being pickled in the brine of truma olives, meaning in this last case, they're not even being pickled together at the same time. First, you had truma olives that were being pickled, and then you use that same brine to pickle chulin olives. In all three of those cases, usser. We assume the chulin olives become usser, meaning to say they take on the status of truma and non-kohanim cannot eat them. Why? So briefly going through each case, if in the first case both are crushed, we know that if the olives are crushed, they are more amenable both to receive and to receive flavor and to have flavor extracted from them. So the crushed truma olive, the salt will extract the flavor from those crushed truma olives and will be bolea, will help absorb that flavor from the truma into the non-truma olives. So that's a problem. In the second case, if you have the crushed chulin olives and the whole truma olives, we assume that the salt can even extract, it can be polate, it can extract the flavor from the truma olive and put it into the crushed chulin olive. And the last case, again, we have these crushed chulin olives, we assume that the brine that was previously used to pickle these truma olives, that will then help bibolea, the flavor, into the crushed chulin olives. So in all of those cases, we assume that the chulin olives will now have the flavor of the truma olives, and therefore they're also have to be treated like truma. But, aval shleime chulin im pitsue truma, but if you have whole chulin olives with crushed truma olives, mutter, then it's okay. Then the chulin olives do not take on the status of truma. Why is that? It seems that in that case, yes, the salt can extract the flavor from the crushed truma olives, but it will not absorb the flavor into the whole chulin olives. The assumption then, based if we put both of these, the first part of the Mishnah, the Reisha, and the Seifa together, it seems that salt is certainly powerful enough to extract flavor from something that is crushed and to bibolea flavor into something that's crushed. But when it comes to a whole olive, the salt can be polate, it can extract the flavor, but the salt is not strong enough to infuse the whole olive with flavor. So again, apparently it takes more to infuse, to absorb flavor into an olive than it does to extract flavor. So if you have a whole olive, the salt can extract the flavor, but it will not absorb flavor into a whole olive. That is Mishnah Zayin. Continues Mishnah Ches. Dag Tame. Now we discussed olives being pickled together. Now we're going to discuss fish that are pickled. Dag Tame, non-kosher fish. Shekvasho im dag tahor. That is being pickled together with kosher fish. So you have non-kosher and kosher being pickled together. Says the Mishnah, we're going to see a lot of math here. I'm not going to get into how the measurements work out in terms of the different types of measurements they're using, but we're going to discuss the numbers more generally. Says the Mishnah, kol garav shehu machazik sasayim. Any garav, any kli, any vessel that's holding, we assume that they're being pickled in this garav, in this large, whatever it is, basin, that holds this brine. So any vessel that holds machzik sasayim, it holds two sasayim, im yesh bo mishkal asara zuz b'Yehuda. If there is in weight 10 zuz of Yehuda, shein chamesh shlam b'galil, which is really the same thing as chamesh shlam b'galil, of the dag tamei, tziro asar. Meaning to say that if you have this large thing of brine, if there isn't a ratio of 1 to 960 parts, meaning the one is the tamei part, the non-kosher part, to the 960 tahor parts, then it is usser, meaning we assume that the flavor of the non-kosher fish will go into the kosher fish. And that is a huge, huge measurement. Usually when it comes to flavor transference, we use the measurement of shishim, of 1/60th, batel b'shishim. Something is nullified, flavor is nullified, 1 to 60. The Mishnah is saying that's not true. You could have 960 parts, one part is tameh, and the 960 parts are tahor, and it'll still be problematic. If you have less than that, meaning to say 1 to 961 or 1 to 962, whatever it is, then the flavor would be absorbed or nullified, then the non-kosher flavor would be nullified and it wouldn't be a problem. But even 1 to 960 would be a problem. And the assumption here is that it is so strong, the flavor is so strong that 1/60th, the normal amount, would never help. Not even 1/61 or 1/62 or 1 to 100. It'd have to be 1 to more than 960 in order to be batal, the strong, strong flavor of the fish. And if not, all of the fish is considered usher. Rabbi Yehuda is going to be more lenient. Rabbi Yehuda omer revi'is besasayin. That comes out to 1 to 192. One part of the non-kosher brine to 192 parts of the brine, then it's usher. If it's 1 to 193, then it would be okay. 1 to 94, then it would be okay. So it's a much smaller measurement. You need much less of the kosher brine than the first opinion. That was 1 to 960. This is 192, but it's still far more than the usual 160. So he would agree, Yehuda would agree that it still is much sharper or much stronger than the regular flavors that would be bevatel, that would be nullified with 1/60. And finally, Rabbi Yossi Omer Echad Mishisha Asarbo. He actually says that it's more lenient than most cases. You don't even need 1/60th, you just need 1/16th of the Tameh to the Tahor, the non-kosher to the kosher. It's not clear why it would be less strong or less lenient. One opinion that's offered is that usually when we say 1 to 160th, we're talking about when two different things are really, the things themselves are mixed together. You have kosher and non-kosher mixed together, then it's 1/60th. It's possible that Rabbi Yossi says that brine, the brine of the fish, isn't really the non-kosher and the kosher together. It's just the extracts of the kosher and the non-kosher together, and that's not really like the kosher and the kosher together. Brine is really just what causes, what comes out, or what's flavored from the fish themselves. It's not actually considered fish, and therefore you can be even more makil. You can be even more lenient. You don't need 1/60th, you just need 1/16th, because it's not two kosher or non-kosher thing being mixed, it's just the extracts of those things, and therefore you can be more makil. That is Mishnah Ches. We'll continue the Mishnah Test tomorrow.